We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We are here. We are live in the Lakeland University studios. They've got online learning. They've got 7 locations throughout the state. You can learn on your terms. Lakeland.edu. Again, I'm Bart. That's Toby. Bears week. We continue our preview of this pivotal game where the Packers are 2 touchdown favorites against their division opponent. One thing I've noticed, and I don't know if this has been said before, but one thing that I've noticed with these two teams, it doesn't matter what the record is. You throw that out the window. You throw that out the window. These two teams, when they get together, you know it's going to be a good one. It's not, though. I mean, I just don't foresee a situation where, outside of injury and, you know, guys not being available, where the Bears bring it. If you're going to beat the Packers, you got to score 20 points. Can the Bears score 20 points? At minimum, that's the discussion. If you're going to beat the Packers, you got to score 20 points. Can the Bears score 20 points on the Packers? You know, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields. It doesn't matter. The Bears are not good. They might be the second best team in the division. The Vikings aren't good either. The Lions, very bad. I do think if you're a Bears fan, there are brighter days ahead. I do like Fields. You know, Allen Robinson has not been playing after being barely used throughout the season. I really like David Montgomery. The defense has bright spots to it. They need a coaching change. They need a coaching change. It's far past the time where they needed a coaching change. They should have brought a new guy in with Fields, whoever that was. But they didn't. They kept Nagy. They kept Pace. They want to hang on. Bears seem to keep that coach just a little too long. And they haven't, you know, we talk about the quarterbacks they've had. They've had coaches that haven't worked out either. Lovey and Tressman and, you know, all these guys. So I don't know. We'll talk about the game this week. I don't think anybody is worried about it. If the Packers lose, it's going to be like a bummer. They're still going to be in really good position. The NFC North's over. I mean, we've been saying that since week 5. But right now where the Packers stand, they are the 2 seed. Cardinals the 1. Packers have a tiebreaker over Tampa Bay as of now, so they'd be the 2 seed. Cowboys and Rams are all sniffing there. The Washington football team and the Niners, that would be your NFC matchup. Much more on the Packers. Aaron Rodgers apparently going to L.A. We'll talk to Ryan Wood here in a little bit. Kind of a mid-recap of the season. As the bye week comes to a close, Matt LaFleur spoke yesterday. Optimistic that some of these guys can come back, so we'll hear from him in a little bit as well. The game last night, the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills 14-10. The Bills have now dropped all the way to the 7th seed in the AFC. The New England Patriots are the 1 seed with a half game lead over the Tennessee Titans. The New England Patriots, you know, we talk about new blood in the NFL. top four seeds, like I mentioned, in the NFC. Arizona, that's impressive. The Packers, Tampa, and Tom Brady. Dallas Cowboys are up there right now. AFC, though, these are the teams, you know. Patriots, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs. Those are all your division leaders. And last year, Bills able to win the division after so many years of Tom Brady winning the division. And now this year, the Patriots seem to have reverted back to their old Patriots self. The Patriots last night, Toby, you're going to see a lot of stuff about, you know, Bill Belichick today. And it, you know, I don't think this should be a surprise what happened last night. And what happened last night was the Patriots threw the ball three times. They ran it 46 times for 222 yards. They averaged nearly 5 yards a carry. A lot of that aided by a long Damian Harris run. But they just kept handing the ball off. The wide receivers, if you wanted to be in action, you had to run the football. I mean, a lot of those guys just lined up and blocked. And you can't do it with every team. You're going to have quarterbacks that are like Rodgers is not throwing the ball. He's checking out of that. And Devontae Adams, you get him one target all game. He's going to be like, dude, what am I doing here? I'm Devontae Adams. But the Patriots, and this, you know, we talk Brady versus Belichick, but this is Belichick. Sure, he's got a rookie quarterback, but his team buys into him. And he buys into his team. I just think that instead of what the conversation might be is, you know, Belichick is running the football the way to stop the Bills. It's Bill Belichick being what he's been for 20 years, a chameleon. They can beat you so many different ways. They can beat you with different defenses. They can beat you in different offenses. Bill Belichick's like the only coach who's got it figured out in this league. Hey, what does the other team do well? Well, since I'm playing the other team, I'm going to stop that. And I'm going to exploit that on the other way. Every other coach, it seems like they can't figure it out. They're always sticking to their game plan. Bill's a coach where he's like, what do you do? I'm going to beat you. How do you beat the Patriots? You don't know what they do because all they ever do is what's going to beat you.
Yeah, it seems like they come up with a great game plan every single time they take the field. And you're right. I mean, Bill's not afraid to do different things every single week. He has his team ready to go. And I think going into that matchup where the weather was going to play a big factor, it automatically took out the Bills' strength. I mean, they still passed the ball a decent bit, but they couldn't really depend on the passing game. And when Buffalo can't depend on the passing game, you've seen they cannot just sit back there and run the football. And I think that shows how important running the ball can be for teams. The Patriots win last night throwing the ball three times, and that's an extreme case. You're right. I mean, if the Packers are in that situation where it's gusting winds, Aaron Rodgers is still throwing the ball around. And
25 times.
Yeah, he's still
minimum.
He's still getting his passes in, but it shows how important it is to be able to have a run game. When you're playing in a place like Buffalo, and I think this is a little bit mismanagement if you're the Buffalo Bills in a case with your roster, you got to understand that games like this seem to happen at least once or twice a year in Buffalo, where it's almost impossible to throw the ball, whether it's too windy, whether it's too cold, whatever it is. And yet they made a football team that is so dependent on the pass that essentially they were beat when they lined up yesterday because the Patriots just needed to be able to stop the run, and they're like, we'll take your chances of you trying to throw the ball in this weather. And the Patriots knew that we're just going to run the ball, and that's what they did, and they were able to win that football game.
414-799-1250, you could tweet us, 1250 AM The Fan. It's not like they haven't, you know, thrown the ball. First couple of games of the season, Mac Jones was throwing it 30, 40, even 51 times against the Saints. He threw the ball 32 times last week. And when you look at his game log, it's like, oh, Mac Jones must have got hurt or something. But no, that was a conscious effort for them to only throw the ball three times, and even that was probably too many when you watch how the game went. Now I'm super bitter. I lost a lot of money last night. I didn't bet on the game, but I had a lot of pivotal leagues. I stacked up on Josh Allen in fantasy. And last week was a pivotal week for me. And this is what happened. I go up against Bill Belichick. But, I mean, if we want to fast forward and think Super Bowl, if you want to think Super Bowl with New England, how do you beat New England? You don't know, because they do what's going to beat you. And if you want to talk Super Bowl New England, you look at the AFC right now, they can beat anybody. They can beat the Chiefs. They can beat the Titans. They can beat the Ravens. They can beat the Bills, obviously. They can beat Cincy. Who can't they beat?
Well, and that's the thing with the Raven, or not the Ravens, the Patriots, is they play an old-school style football. The Ravens do to an extent, too, in that it's defense and run the football. And in a new age where everybody likes to air it out and everything else, the Patriots are able to neutralize that by controlling the game with their defense and running the football. And so it's different than just about any other team in the NFL and how they play. They play that old-school style. Bill Belichick's going to come up with a good game plan on defense. And so if they're able to stop you defensively and then control the ball in the running game, which on this winning streak that they have, they've been able to do, then you're right. I mean, they can beat Kansas City. They can beat just about any team you put up against them right now, because they're able to dominate the game. They're not going to maybe win by a large margin against some of these better teams, but it doesn't matter, because Bill Belichick just wants to muddy it up, and he feels like if you give him a chance late in the game, he can figure out a way to get that, you know, bring the W home, whether it's getting a defensive stop or scheming something up to get Mac Jones and the offense down the field to get a game-winning field goal or a game-winning touchdown. The Patriots are just so well coached, and it just shows that it was frustrating that everything when Brady left had to be, well, who was the main guy there? Was it Brady or was it Belichick? It's like they're both some of the best to ever do it at their craft. You could argue that they were both the best at their craft. And now you put them separately, and Tom Brady goes and wins the Super Bowl, and that was impressive in Tampa. And now you give Bill Belichick an actual quarterback that can throw the football, and he's able to show you how good he can be. Bill Belichick's still one of the best, if not the best coach in the NFL. Tom Brady's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So it doesn't matter who benefited from who, but you're seeing how good Belichick can be, because I think people didn't give Belichick the credit he deserved at times because of Tom Brady. Now you're seeing how good of a coach he can be. Tom Brady's not there anymore, and they're the top team in the AFC after only really being down for a year.
Is it possible that in the Brady-Belichick relationship, they were both 10 out of 10s?
Yeah.
I mean, can that be possible?
Yeah.
Does it have to be, well, Brady helped Belichick do this, vice versa? What if it was just the best coach of the generation got paired up with the best QB of the generation? What if that's just what it was?
Well, and that's why they won so many Super Bowls. I mean, that's what every team's looking for, right? The perfect coach and quarterback pairing, and they had that for a long time, and that's why they won so many Super Bowls.
People are going to act today like Bill Belichick did something incredible or something we've never seen before. This is what he's been doing for 20 years. There's nothing new about what Belichick did yesterday. He's been doing this for his whole career, finding your weakness, exploiting it. They're not going to throw the football three times next week. They're going to do whatever it takes to beat their next opponent. And that's Bill Belichick. And so last night, we may have been surprised because we're so bad at, you know, retaining information. And we're just, it's like, oh, it's snowing. I still think Josh Allen will score 5 touchdowns. You know, I still think Mac Jones will throw the ball 30 times. No, this is Bill Belichick. This is what he does.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Patriot way. The guys just don't have an ego, and they go out there and play. And if they do have an ego, Bill doesn't keep them in town very long. So, I mean, that's impressive by the Patriots. I don't think there's a whole lot of teams that would have been willing to go out there and only throw the ball 3 times. But they found a way to win that football game. And, you know, it's going to be tough. I think they've got to be viewed as the top team in the AFC right now with how they're playing. And they're going to be a tough test if they're the ones that, whoever it is out of the NFC, hopefully the Packers, have to match up with them in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup just because of how well-coached they are and how good they can play on defense. And then on top of that, just being able to kind of control the ball, running it, and not really turning it over. And that offense isn't anything explosive, but it gets the job done.
NFL's wanted a Brady-Rodgers Super Bowl when they were in New England forever, and then what if you got a Packers-Patriots Super Bowl? Well, I mean, you got the NFC Championship and Brady won. So there you go, NFL. You got you got what you wanted. I'm Bart, that's Toby. More on this game throughout the morning. The anti-weather crowd is out last night. The anti-weather and football crowd. We're going to do this again, I guess. All right. More updates on the Green Bay Packers, including we'll hear from head coach Matt LaFleur. We'll chat with Ryan Wood about what to expect after the bye. We'll do that coming up. I'm Bart, that's Toby, 1250 AM, The Fan.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Meet the Mets! Meet the Mets! Step right up and greet the Mets! Bring your kitties, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life because the Mets are really socking the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York Town.
See, now that was good. Somebody had Rami do the Bears still suck on Friday. And I thought it was terrible. His heart wasn't into it. But with Ryan Wood, he did a little meet the Mets for noted Met fan Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Not bad from Rami. He went all out for you. How are you, Woody?
I love all of you, and this is a great example of why. Thank you. Thank you for this. So, I need to, like, save that recording somewhere and just have it for any time I feel a little gloom, anytime I'm having a rainy day. Replay that, because that'll do it.
A new ringtone, perhaps?
Yes, exactly that.
Yeah, and then keep your phone on, so the next time that Aaron Rodgers is showing you guys his feet, your phone rings, and then it's just...
Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really...
Yeah, oops, sorry, phone was on. Oops, didn't mean to...
Love it. I love it. That's phenomenal. He kind of threw in that like East Coast accent there too. I mean, he really went all out there.
Yeah, it was really good. He did. Here, I'm gonna play because he likes the Bears. There's a little bit of Bears still suck from him.
They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
It just doesn't have the same flair that Meet the Mets did for you. So you should feel good about that. He went all out for you.
Well, here's the reality, though. The Bears do still suck.
Yeah, they're bad. The Packers are going to see good work. Packers are going to see them on Sunday night football. They lose to the Cardinals this weekend. Vikings lose to the Lions. This NFC North can be wrapped up by Sunday night, a day earlier than it would have been wrapped up a year before, but there's an extra week this year. I don't know. Is it good to have a good division? Is it a hindrance to have a bad division? You look at the Patriots and what they did with Brady, and they always got in. Their division was bad, so they'd always get that bye into the divisional round and be fine. But, you know, the Packers still have every one of these teams. And if you want to be playing your best football, you know, it's good because you're playing bad teams. But I don't know. Do they need more of a measuring stick? It's just these last five games could be, like, it'll be nice that they're winning. And this sounds so spoiled, but I don't care. But, like, can we just get to the playoffs already? We know we're getting in. There's a little mystery about the one seed. These next 5 weeks are going to be a slog, kind of.
To answer your question, no, I don't think the division matters at all, right? I mean, shouldn't say that maybe so flippantly. You need to win your division to win the conference. So, yes, you need to win the division, but it's not something that's more than just a piece of paper. It's just get the deed, get the division, and then move on. The reality for the Packers, it's not been about the division for like 6 weeks. Like, it's all about the conference. So, they'll never admit this. I don't know if this is true or how much reality there is here, but they'll never admit the scoreboard watching or whatever across the conference. But the reality is they're looking at teams like, the Bucks, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, and obviously some vested rooting interest in the sucky Bears this past Sunday. And those are the games that, you know, it's about the seeding for playoff time right now.
Yeah, it's week 13 and they're rooting for a division rival instead of because they're not a threat. It's the Cardinals, and their schedule might be a little tougher down the road, and we'll see how that, you know, shakes out. Cardinals been a very good road team. Packers, you know, they beat the Cardinals though when they went to Arizona. So that all should be interesting. You know, as I was laying in bed last night, I was thinking, yeah, this is a bye week. What should I ask Wood? What do I want to know about him and his job? And I wanted to ask you, in the past year, let's say, in 2021, what was the day that you were most like, what am I covering? What was the day that you were most like, I just can't believe that I'm writing about this? Because it could have been any of the Rodgers stuff. It could have been his Hawaiian trip. It could have been the draft when all of a sudden we're not talking about Eric Stokes. We're talking about some Schefter report. It could have been when Rodgers showed you his aforementioned Tootsies. Well, what thing was the most like shocking to you so far this year?
Well, first of all, Bart, I'm very flattered that you were thinking about me while laying in bed last night.
You know, because I'm always on the clock. I'm always working. I'm always preparing.
Always working.
Yeah.
And I'm always on the mind, so that means a lot. That's a great question, because there are words that I can't say on the radio for this kind of year.
I mean, writer's dream for a year like this, where it's just like nonstop action.
Yes, but there's also, the most, I mean, I can't say that, the most craptastic day this year had to be when Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show the first time, right? And talked about COVID. I mean, that was very much a what are we doing here type day. There's going to be people that are like, well, why'd you write about it? Like, you didn't need to write. Like, really? That's news. Like, he's the most important employee on a multi-billion dollar industry in a multi-billion dollar league that is saying things that are in direct contradiction to, you know, medical professionals at the CDC. That you have to write about it. So it's either that or you know, draft day is a day that I'll never forget too, because it just went from zero to a million like out of the blue. Like we didn't know, and it was a quiet Thursday until it wasn't. Of all the Schefter bombs, I'll never forget that one. It literally was like a bomb had gone off. So those are the two days that really stand out to me the most. Yeah, the foot thing, you know, is probably the perfect encapsulator of what this how wonky and wacky this year's been. I'd say the first the explanation of Aaron Rodgers' vaccination status to Pat McAfee probably is the greatest circus that has happened this year.
Well, and this is all part of trying to cover and keep up with this team in the day and age that we're in, because, you know, Rodgers goes on a show which is broadcast, and most people get, you know, if they see it live on YouTube, they may do that. Otherwise, they're getting clips on Twitter. With that Schefter thing, that was all, I mean, if you're not on Twitter that day, maybe you saw him on ESPN, but otherwise, it's like, all of this stuff is happening, and it's happening so fast. So that's got to be a challenge, I would think, for you, is trying to keep up with everything.
It is challenging. You have to mentally digest things in real time and what they mean. And, you know, the explanation of Pat McAfee is a great example. You know, I walked out to practice that day because he went on at noon, and practice was at noon. So it was simultaneous. So I walked out to practice that day and see the tweet, he's coming on. And I as soon as I got to practice, I turned around and beeline back to my office at Lambeau Field, because, you know, this is important, I got to listen to this. Not really expecting the fireworks that would come. Right? I had no idea what was going to be said, let alone that it'd be as explosive as it was. And that was another great, you know, it escalated really, really fast. you know, it's one of those things. You got to be able to try to figure it out. Yeah, I actually fact checking in real time too. I mean, that's, you know, because I'm not I don't have a science medical degree, right? I'm a journalist, so being able to fact check in real time, that's always a challenge as well.
Let me tell you the two things we've talked about together: Aaron Rodgers and how bad the NFC North has been. So if the Packers did not have Aaron Rodgers, if somehow he was in Denver or wherever, could they have still won this division with Jordan Love behind center?
You know, I haven't seen enough of Jordan Love to be able to say that one way or the other. I think the thing with Jordan Love, the problem for me against Kansas City, it wasn't that he couldn't read and diagnose, because he couldn't. You can coach that up, right? That comes. I don't think that I think he kept his eyes downfield well enough. I don't think he was seeing ghosts with the blitz. I mean, those pass rushers are very real. So the problem for me was that he was not accurate. He was very inaccurate. And at this level, at that position, if you are inaccurate, you cannot survive playing quarterback in the NFL that way. It does not work. So that's the issue. What we don't know, it's one of two reasons. It's either first game jitters on the road at Arrowhead, the crazy week, you know, he didn't practice first team until Wednesday of that week. I mean, just the whole throwing it together doesn't lend itself to having a very sound rhythm as a passer. So maybe it's that, or it's just that he's just not accurate. If it's the first, it would have been helpful to see him play against Seattle, see a larger sample size of one game to see if, you know, get him inside Lambeau Field with a full, regular, normal week of practice, more comfortable if he'd be more accurate, or if he was still inaccurate, then you've got real problems, because you cannot in this league be an inaccurate quarterback. So I think the jury's still out on Jordan Love because of that, because we don't know the reason for the inaccuracy. I think the Packers do. They've seen it in practice, right? So the Packers know far more than we do about whether or not he's an accurate quarterback. But from the outside, we don't know why he was inaccurate. And until we do, it's tough to get a read on him.
I just asked that question. I mean, there's a lot of games that the Packers, you know, they win because of Rodgers, where it's 37 seconds. He drives down the field enough to get a field goal. And, you know, some of the other, you know, he's had a good year. He's playing very well. He's MVP level. But I mean, I think it's a fair question, because that's how bad the division is. I mean, everybody else sucks.
The Bears suck. Still, we know that.
They have a winning streak, so watch out.
They'd be better than the Lions. They would not be last in this division with Jordan Love. I can say that very confidently.
Yeah.
They would not be, what are the Lions now? 1-10-1?
Yeah.
They'd be better than that.
Okay. How much better? Thank God that we don't have to find out. So I got one more vague question for you on this bye week as we trickle back into the full week of practice. If the Packers don't get to the Super Bowl, it's a very vague question, will it be more because they beat themselves, or will it be because there's another team out there that's just better than the Packers? Who's more likely to get in their own way? Tampa, Arizona, the field, or themselves?
I mean, the answer is injuries, right? Because if this team is fully healthy, they're getting to the Super Bowl. This team's fully healthy, you get those three All-Pros back. This is a team that is the best in the conference, and I think it's a clear favorite.
They are good. The Packers, they are good. They are a good team.
The shame of it is that they haven't had David Bakhtiari, Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander. And that's the shame of it. If this team had those three, they're 9-3 practically without them. I mean, Jair Alexander had a couple games, but like 18 snaps from Za'Darius Smith and that's it. Nothing from David Bakhtiari. You know, not to mention Elgton Jenkins now being out for the year. Josh Myers, their preferred center, missing half the year. This is a really, really, really good Packers team that just has not had the benefit of being healthy. That's, you know, that's what would keep them from the Super Bowl, to how banged up they are. If they're full health, easy favorite in a conference. So I still think that they could. Yeah, I don't feel like there's a clear shot favorite, a number one in this conference. You know, Arizona's looked very good, but they're new. Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay, but they're not a flawless team. The Rams can, you know, got a lot of talent, but haven't been able to really put it together. The Cowboys, similar to Arizona, I mean, they're good, but they're new. And then you got the Packers, who are just so banged up. If they ever get those guys back, that's an easy pick in this conference. So I don't know if they're going to be healthy or not.
Let's say Mason Crosby goes 0-3 Sunday night. Is there any chance he gets cut the next day?
Zero.
What if one of the kicks was so bad it actually went backwards? Or one of the kicks went so far to the left that it hit Aaron Rodgers in the head and he was concussed?
I don't know if you're going to be sitting on like the 50-yard line or not, but if one of those, if you are and one of those kicks hits you in the head, they will not be cutting Mason Crosby.
Not okay. All right. Well, I hope we don't find out, but we'll see. He's been rough.
Mason Crosby is like the least of their worries on that field goal unit. They don't have a snapper. The holding has been a problem, and their protection's been shoddy all year.
Well, what are they going to do about snapper? They can't stick with this guy.
That's a great question. You know what? I don't know.
What's Brett Goode up to? They used to just bring him out of nowhere.
I don't think this field goal unit's getting better. I think that this is what you're going to see the rest of the year. And a big reason for that is what do you do at snapper? Because on one hand, Steven Wuerdl is not it. On the other hand, starting over from scratch with another snapper, your third snapper of the year in early December, is absolutely not it. You need continuity in the field goal operation. And when you don't have that, it's a problem. I don't know what they're going to do there. And I think they've got very serious issues that are not going to get resolved this season. I think the field goal unit is going to be what it is.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com. We will talk on Thursday, Green Bay Press Gazette. BY Ryan Wood by Ryan Wood. Thank you, and I'm going to play you off with some Rami. So you've earned it. Thanks as always. We'll talk later. We'll talk later in the week, buddy.
Take care.
Ryan Wood.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really socking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York Town.
Oh, Rami, right at the end with the punch.
E-T-S Mets of New York Town.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everything. Health is a huge thing. So as long as we can stay healthy, we're going to give ourselves a great shot to win every night. And then also just finding a groove throughout the season, finding say it all the time, finding different ways to win ball games, learning a lot by ourselves, watching film, learning from our mistakes. It goes all hand in hand.
Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks. They get the win last night over the Cleveland Cavaliers, 112-104. Since November 17th, when the Bucks beat the LA Lakers to improve to 7-8, they have lost just one game. It was the other night without Giannis, 97-93 at Toronto. Bucks win without Giannis over the weekend against the Heat, who were also a bit depleted. And they win last night. Giannis back on his 27th birthday. He scores 27 points in 27 minutes. Coincidence? I think, yes, absolutely, it was a coincidence. 27 points for Giannis. Took him a while to get going. Didn't want to push it too much, he said, because of the calf injury.
Obviously, they had three seven-footers out there, you know, showing crowd, contesting every drive. And I just had to play smart, try to get to my spot. But I tried to stay aggressive as much as possible. Sometimes I'm going to be able to get in the paint. Sometimes I'm going to rely on my jump shot. And sometimes I'm going to rely on my teammates. I'm going to pass the ball, and hopefully I make the right play and help them, put them in position to knock down shots. But for tonight, I was just trying to, it's my first game back after two games that I missed. I was just trying to, just make the right play.
Giannis was 3-for-3 from three again. And when he shoots a three ball, it looks good. Like the form looks better. Giannis went from shooting the three and everybody like not liking it. Now I almost feel like it's a high percentage shot for him. And I don't know when he got this figured out. He changed it in the short off season. His jumper looks better. His 3-point shot's there. He's doing fadeaways. He's doing everything. This dude's awesome. Could be an MVP again. They didn't give it to him last year, so the fatigue factor's gone. Now you can start fresh again because can't give a guy an MVP 3 years in a row. You got to mix it up. Not that Jokic wasn't deserving, but Giannis probably also deserving. It's going to come down to Giannis and Steph right now. Those are the two best players in the league, and they do entirely different things. So, what do you go with? And it's December, so do we care about MVP? I mean, it's interesting, but in the NBA, the MVP award is like more important to writers and fans than any other league. Like, who's the MVP in the NFL? I don't know, it's going to be week 14 here. It could be Brady. Maybe Josh Allen slips a little. It could be Rodgers. We'll see. But in the NBA, every night, there's 40 different websites that publish NBA MVP power rankings. It matters more for whatever reason in the NBA. Maybe it's a more individualized game, but Giannis definitely in the discussion. Giannis with 27 last night, again in 27 minutes, 12 boards, couple of assists. Chris Middleton, 36 minutes, 21 points. He had a rougher night shooting from beyond the arc. Jrue Holiday, 9-15 shooting, so he had a nice night, 20 points. So they all score over 20. Remember with Middleton and Bledsoe and Giannis, when it was those three guys, I think out of, 200 games, they all had 20-plus points once or twice. I do remember there was a weekend game in Portland when it was a massive deal. But now it's pretty ho-hum that all these guys have more than 20 points. And Giannis says at the end of the game, that's what it should be. It should be him. It should be Middleton. It should be Jrue.
I think at our best, between all three of us, we're out there. It's either it's Jrue handling the ball, Chris handling the ball, I'm handling the ball. We're going to try to make the right play. We're going to make good decisions. We're going to put our teammates in a good spot. And it's always good to, especially in the fourth quarter, down the stretch, just the person that has the ball is always one of the best players on the team, and I think naturally, when we go down the stretch in the fourth quarter, the ball is usually on Jrue, on Chris, or in my hand, and we just try to make a decision. As I said, it's good. It benefits the team. Like, you cannot go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's your big three. So Giannis is right. You can't go wrong. But the Bucks also have a pretty deep bench at this point. Grayson Allen playing last night, only 6 points for him. Bobby Portis, 10 points, 16 boards for Portis. He was all over the place. Cousins is coming in and making a difference. Pat Connaughton. Every night I go on Twitter during a Bucks game, someone says, remember when we made fun of John Horst for screwing up that contract? Well, yeah, we were all wrong. Okay? We all took the L, and we can all move on. Pat Connaughton is a big part of this team. Matthews, Rodney Hood. And then this Javonte Smart is decent and intriguing for sure. So the Bucks, if you're looking at this team right now, and they improved to 16-9, they beat a Cavs team, which is not terrible. 13-12. The Cavs are a weird hodgepodge of a bunch of different trades that are currently melding together. The Kevin Love trade back from the LeBron days when they saddled him for Andrew Wiggins. By the way, Wiggins looking good in Golden State last night, 8 threes. They've got their deal with the Bulls. Lauri Markkanen comes over. They've got Jared Allen from the Nets. But then they got young guys, Evan Mobley and the Sexland boys. Sexton, who's out for the year, but Garland. Cavs, if you're a Cavs fan, I think you're on the way up here. You know, when LeBron left, they were decimated. But if you're a Cavs fan, they might be at least on the way up. They're above 500. They certainly were in it last night. I thought for the most part, Bucks leading 8, 9, 10 points. I was more focused on the football game. Maybe a touch of Monday Night Raw. Bad again. I don't know what I'm doing. But then the Bucks in the fourth quarter is like, oh, geez, Cavs are coming back. You got to watch this thing. With the Bucks, though, I'm trying to think, let's say you get to the playoffs and you go 8-9, 8 or 9 deep. Who's not playing? Who's playing? Who's not playing? You're going to start Giannis, Middleton, Grayson, Drew, and let's say Brooks back? Or do you keep starting Portis come that time? Either way, those six are going to be involved. DeMarcus Cousins, Connaughton. So now you're up to 8. And then who? You know, this is a pretty deep team right now at this point. Dante, I did not mention who's exactly practicing again.
Can't forget about Dante.
But maybe you can, because I mean, if you're gonna add depth with a big.
Yeah, but Dante's nice because if you take Grayson Allen off the floor, we kind of talked about this earlier in the season when they got Grayson Allen, they're very similar players. So if you take a guy like Grayson off the floor, put Dante on, you're not losing a whole lot. And granted, we haven't seen Dante since his injury, so hopefully he comes back just as good as he was, if not better. And I think he can get there, but if you bring back Dante and you can kind of rotate him with Grayson Allen, you have that kind of guy on the floor that's a solid defender that can knock down the three ball, is a good wing player for you, then that's always nice to have too. But it is true, this Bucks team has a lot of depth right now, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, we'll have to see how the whole season plays out, obviously. We still got a long way to go. But it's going to be interesting to see how Bud decides to use these guys because he's got a lot of them at his disposal right now.
Yeah. Dante, I don't assume that he's going to get traded. It's just I've seen so many trade proposals that it's like, to me, I've just, when I see him in a Bucks uniform again on that court, I'm going to be like, whoa.
Well, and it might make sense to trade him if you do have, you know, as nice as it is to have him and Grayson Allen, if they are very similar players, which they are, you don't necessarily always need two of the same guy. So you could move Dante, especially considering the amount of money that he's going to command once he hits free agency. Maybe you just get something for him while you can, but I think teams are probably going to want to see him on the floor first to get a little more value, or the Bucks will want to see him on the floor just to show the other teams that, look, he can still play, he's still fine. So it'll be interesting to see what John Horst decides to do with DiVincenzo.
Do you think in your gut he gets traded or not get traded?
I kind of feel like he doesn't.
I'm with you.
I feel like they really like Dante a lot. I think they'd love to keep him on this basketball team. I don't know that they can once he comes up as a free agent, but I think they feel like he can be an integral part. And, you know, what's the ultimate goal is to win championships. And so do you want to have Dante on your bench or get, I mean, what are you getting for Dante DiVincenzo? You're not going to probably get as much as you'd hope. So maybe it's just one of those things where, sure, you'd like to get something for him if he just, you know, walks in free agency, but would you rather not have him and get like a second round pick or whatever you're going to get for him, or have him on your bench and then just say goodbye to him at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think they might try to hang on to him. If you look at the bigs they had last year, it wasn't much different. It was Portis and Brooke Lopez and then obviously P.J. Tucker, but they brought in DeMarcus Cousins. I think he stays with the team. I don't think they're going to, you know, get rid of him.
Well, and you know what the Bucks missed last year in the playoffs? It actually wasn't the bigs that were a problem. It was guarding people on the perimeter, right? We talked about that. It was Drew Holiday, P.J. Tucker, Pat Connaughton, and the guard depth was pretty poor coming down the stretch there. And you didn't know who to match up with guys. Having now Grayson Allen, DiVincenzo when he comes back, Connaughton, you still have Drew Holiday, George Hill's another good one. So you have guard depth now that, you know, when you had some of those injuries happen last season, maybe just having that extra guard is a good thing for the Bucks.
Well, and who are you going to play throughout? If I fast forward all the way to the finals and it's the Suns or Warriors, they're not totally big. They got Ayton, but.
Well, and you got guys to match up with Ayton. You know, Giannis covers up a lot of that with how well he can play against just about anybody. But having that extra guard, right now the Bucks are solid in that I think they have enough guards. Maybe you'd like to see another big man in there. Obviously, you want Brooke Lopez to come back. DeMarcus Cousins looks like he can still play a little bit. Bobby Portis. So you're pretty happy with what you've got on this Bucks team. I don't know, you know, some of these guys, they're bringing in more and more wing players. Like, you bring in Wes Matthews. I don't exactly know what role he's going to play on this basketball team, but, you know, it's going to be fun to see. I trust what John Horst sees, and I trust Bud, as weird as that sounds, right? Now he wins one championship, and we just completely forget.
Oh, he won that championship. I'll never say a bad word about him again.
I know. I trust Bud to figure it out. It almost feels like now, too, because Bud has the ring, that he kind of just like, all right, I understand now. I am one of the best coaches in the league. He seems more confident in how he coaches. Like, he might make the wrong decision, but he's going to make it confidently.
Yeah, it's like when I won the social media award from the Wisconsin Broadcasters in 2017. Once I did that, I started tweeting more confidently. Granted, I've gotten myself into a lot of trouble and have lost a lot of acquaintances and friends. I almost went after Dan Dockage last night, but I just went to bed.
What's your Twitter? I might need to follow you.
Dan Dockage was like, all Mannings and Letterman aren't funny. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, because you're also an indie guy and you're bitter. I watched the Manning cast. Okay. Of course I did.
How was it?
Good.
I didn't watch it.
Why?
I was busy with stuff.
Oh. Yeah, it was good. Letterman was fine. Joe Buck was good. Joe Buck is in Cabo.
Really?
He's got a house in Cabo.
So he's just hanging out down there? Is he going to be back for the games?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he just hangs out down there.
Yeah, well, I think he lives in St. Louis, and I don't know, is it cold there right now?
Probably.
Wouldn't you rather, I mean, today is the coldest day we've had since February. If you could, wouldn't you rather go down to Cabo?
Yes.
I don't know. Everything in Mexico seems so far away. It just seems so far away.
Yeah, but, I mean, if it's on a private jet, which he's probably flying on.
Oh, yeah, true.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, but his wife works for ESPN, so she was at the game last night. Freezing. But he's down there in Cabo. He says, I don't care. I don't care. And then Peyton Manning said, do you hate TV timeouts? He goes, I'm in Cabo. What do you think? No, he does not hate TV timeouts. Anyway, more on the Patriots and Bills, because that was a very intriguing game, and there's going to be a lot of weird overreactions to what happened last night, but it's just confirmation about what we know. Bill Belichick's a good football coach. We all should have known that going in, and the Patriots right now have the one seed in the AFC. To wrap up on Dante, there was a little bit of Dante excitement yesterday because he was optioned to the Wisconsin Herd, but then quickly optioned back to the Bucks. It was just so he could practice. So sometimes the Herd, sometimes they practice down here. I don't know if that was the situation yesterday. Otherwise, they just drive up to Oshkosh and practice, but to get on the floor and get some, you know, good practice time. But he's, and you could do that. And if you do that in the NBA now, you have to make it a transaction. You can't just quietly sneak Dante up there. You have to go through the proper channels. Coach Bud on Dante yesterday before the game says he's making good progress. He is doing stuff in a live environment. He continues to do well. He's exceeding our expectations. He says he's just focusing and the work is off the charts. We don't have a specific date on when we could see Dante again. Why would we? They kept Brooke Lopez's injury a mystery for 6 weeks before they finally had him go and get back surgery. So we will see Dante at some point. And I think if I, you know, had to bet on it, I would say that I don't think he gets traded. A lot of people are, again, I've seen a lot of mock trades with Dante, whether it's Miles Turner or whoever. People trying to get another athletic big in here. But I don't know. I think the Bucks, you know, you rehab this guy. He's a part of your team. You want to see what he can do. And, yeah, he's going to be due a lot of money most likely if he looks fine. There was talk about 4 years, 80 for him. And that's one of the reasons maybe why the Bucks went and got Grayson Allen, to have a guy that could play that role without having to pay Dante. Bucks can't afford that unless they really want to go into the tax, but they're not going to do that for Dante. If they wouldn't go sort of over for PJ Tucker, they're not going to go way over for Dante DiVincenzo. But I think this year they want to, you know, see what he can do. And we'll see. When the trade deadline hits, how much will Dante have played by then? Because, yeah, there's some very optimistic news yesterday, but does that mean we'll see him next week, in a month? We don't know. A lot of questions remain on that. I'm Bart, that's Toby, 414-799-1250. Back from the break are Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers. I told you I've lost a lot of friends on Twitter and this radio show. There is another reporter I need to drill to the ground. Some of these guys, their questions are so stupid. Not that I would be any better, but that's not my job. This is my job. And we'll hear from Matt LaFleur because he is, again, it's just vague everywhere. Nobody knows when anybody's coming back. When's Dante coming back? I don't know. When's baseball coming back? Who knows? When's Zadarius or Jair Bakhtiari coming back? Nobody knows. We'll do our best guessing next.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.